Lord God, on the quiet of this Christmas Eve, we come to you. We sing, we listen, and we reflect. We pray that in these moments, as we sing again familiar carols, as we hear again the very familiar story, that you might touch us with its power as your Spirit once more reaches out of eternity through a manger and touches our lives. Use this time profitably in each of us for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. I welcome you to this Christmas Eve service, those of you here and those of you who are joining us by radio. This is the Park Street Church in Boston. I am David Fisher, and this is our Christmas Eve service. The purpose of this service is reflection as we sing and hear. And the whole program is in front of you. We don't need hymn books and we don't need announcements. We'll just move straight through the program. Rice will introduce the hymns with his organ introduction, and we will sing. And these carols will be interspersed with scripture readings. Note that the scripture readings begin in the Old Testament with hints of the coming of Messiah and end in the epistle in reflection upon Christ's coming. And so, therefore, I invite you to worship Christ the Lord.
Our first scripture reading this evening is from the book of Psalms, 89th chapter, verses 1 to 18. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon, sing your joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are they who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. An Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. An Old Testament reading from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origin are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. From then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That is the word of God. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Hear once again the Word of God, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And that is the word of God.
A reading from the Epistle to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
I remember one silent night many years ago now. It was Christmas Eve. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, fast asleep, waiting that great day. I was reading instruction sheets on how to put toys together. My wife sat on the couch urging me on. Between the instruction sheets and the couch instructions, I was someplace between frustrated and annoyed. A child's desk with a chalkboard and a pegboard was the big challenge, and it was going much slower than I had anticipated. I wanted to be finished with all of my construction in time for the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Christmas Eve services tend to cause me some nervous anticipation, and that is because the expectations tend to be high, and I always fear that what we do on Christmas Eve is failure. So I was not a whole lot of fun to be with that Christmas Eve. Well, I didn't get done in time, and I walked over to the little white frame church for the service. It was already jam-packed full of people. Their faces were aglow in the flickering candle lights, for indeed candlelight was the only light in the building. We sang and we prayed and we listened in a service very similar to this one, and once again were touched by the timeless story of the coming of Jesus Christ. That evening, as I looked out over the faces of those people, the emotional whirlwind which I carried from instruction sheets and frustration and nervousness was suddenly calmed. Perhaps it was the lateness of the hour, perhaps exhaustion, but I think more likely it was the upturned faces seated before me in the candlelight. They were faces turned up to me for a word from God, and faces at the same time turned up to God in love and anticipation. Some of those faces were tired and worn. Some of them were old, and some of them were young. Some were eager, and some were tired. Many were smiling, others were very serious. All of them were my family of faith, a family that accepted me, affirmed us, and miracle of miracles, listened and responded to my ministry. Out of the darkness of that Christmas Eve service, God spoke and my heart was strangely calmed. It's strange, I suppose, how God speaks in such quiet tones, unexpected ways, and unanticipated times. After the service, a little after midnight, I walked home and resumed my construction project. Gloria had gone to bed. She undoubtedly was tired of a cranky husband and also knew that the kids would be up before the crack of dawn and wanted to be well rested. I sat down on the floor of the living room and worked. It was so quiet, it was eerie. I was sorry I had been uptight before and cranky, and I prayed for more control of my emotions and more control of my circumstances. Of the morning, and by then I was way too keyed up to sleep, so I sat on the floor of the living room with all of the lights off in the house and stared out the front room window at the stars in the sky. Across the yard was the church with an illuminated cross on the steeple. In the quiet of that evening was thunderous, and God spoke again. I was now surrounded in a very comfortable and familiar place by sleeping people who loved me, and surrounded at the same time by the silent darkness and the power of God. It was one of those moments that was simply overwhelming. And the ancient story which I had read and we had heard was filled with new meaning. Those sleeping babies and a young woman who loved me, the incredible power of the dark and the quiet combined to fill that ancient Christmas story with emotions to match my understanding. God surprised me once again, as he has in the past, with a whisper. It seems, doesn't it, that God seldom shouts. His voice is more often a whisper, and so easily missed. One of the prophets in the Old Testament learned that lesson. The voice of God was not the thunder and the lightning. It wasn't a windstorm. It rather was the still, small voice. The night that Jesus was born, God spoke in a whisper. That world, like ours, was very, very noisy. Rome made a terrible commotion. The shouts of Roman senators and the shouts of Caesar's voice reverberated off the marble walls of Caesar's palace. The Roman masses clamored loudly in the streets, asking for bread and their way and wonderful times. And the Roman roads which crisscrossed the Mediterranean world were filled with busy travelers and the noise of profit and commerce. And Jerusalem, far off, provincial capital that it was a cacophony of animal noise, religious confusion, and religious shouts. The temple and the streets were filled with prayers and a variety of languages and clamor. Bethlehem was also a noisy place, at least in the daytime in those days. It was filled with pilgrims who'd come home for the census, just like Joseph and Mary. Its streets and its market were noisy and confusing places of shouts and commotions in 2, 3, or 4 languages. And in the midst of that noise in Bethlehem, and the shouts and the clamor in Jerusalem, and the louder noise emanating from Rome, God spoke in a whisper, seldom or barely audible. Then, and it seems so today, he didn't even try to shout down the noise. While the earth slumbered on, the angels held their breath with anticipation, and God spoke in a manger. And a peasant woman, her husband-to-be, and some shepherds in the countryside were the only ones who heard. It's hardly the expected audience for the decisive word from eternity for all time. Martin Luther was fond of saying that when God speaks, he always uses baby talk, because that's all we can understand. And yet we continue to expect something more. God's whisper comes to us so often in the ordinary circumstances of life that we miss it. We expect spiritual lightning and thunder, some sort of emotional bursts or bright lights, and in our search for the spectacular, we miss his voice. Jesus' contemporaries were looking for a conqueror to chase out the Romans and restore the splendor of David and Solomon's kingdom. God gave them a manger and a cross. No flutter of angel wings now, no ecstasy of the Spirit in the manger at Bethlehem, a simple, natural childbirth with pain and blood. While Mary wondered where the angels were, they were out in the countryside singing to some shepherds. And so, in the similar way, God spoke to me on that Christmas Eve so long, long ago. His whisper came in flickering candlelight in a sanctuary, in the quiet darkness of midnight, in simple people who surrounded me in sleep. And he will whisper tonight in a manger through ordinary people and through the regular events of our lives. But if we're to hear him, we must stop and listen. I can't hear a whisper if the TV's on too loud or I'm talking. I must listen to the motions of grace and the sounds and the actions of my family, my friends, hymn books, scripture reading, fellow church members, in the silence of quiet sounds, moments of reflection, and the faces of God's people. For in little and large affirmations, at work and at home and at play, God whispers in thunderous tones. And what does he want to tell us tonight? I can't tell you the specifics for your life, but I do know the big picture, for God makes that very clear. The gospel in a manger says, loud and clear, though it's only in a whisper, I love you so much that I laid myself open in the vulnerable form of an infant. In the manger, God says, I've come for you. I've come to find you. Follow me. I died for you. Trust me. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'll be with you always and everywhere. You can depend on it. If you're wandering, God says, come home, for the door is always open, and I'm always waiting. If you're wounded, come to me. I'll heal you. If your heart is crusted over with defensive devices accumulated over the years, give that tired old heart to me, and I'll gently make it over. If you're weak, I'll make you strong. If you're guilty, I'll forgive you. If you're tired, I'll give you rest, and on and on. So let's stop and listen. Tonight and tomorrow, let's step off the fast track for just a minute and listen. Let's stop reacting to all that's around us and listen. It's Christmas Eve, and the gospel lies quietly in a manger. Amen.
We thank you for coming this evening and sharing your Christmas Eve with us, and trust that God has spoken to your heart this evening through the ministry of the Word and of music and the message by Dr. Fisher. The ministers and staff of Park Street Church want to wish you and your family a very happy and holy Christmas. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.